honestly, when this whole injury happened to me, I went from being a college football player, living out my dream, to relying on nurses and my family and medical staff. And it kind of makes you get an appreciation on life from what I used to have to what I have now.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's up, my friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. This is conversation number 98, and I am so excited that you're here with me today. My guest today is a titan. He is the one and only Eric LeGrand, and he is the founder of Team LeGrand and the owner of Shop 52. I couldn't be more excited to have him on here today. This guy is a fighter. He's genuine. He's got a great attitude, and I really enjoyed speaking with him today. I was very, very highly anticipating this conversation. I can't wait to share it with you. You can find this conversation and all the other contemplations on christophlewis.com/podcast or on your favorite podcast app, and you can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. So let's get right into this. I'm so excited. Without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, man. We had a what was cool about how we met is that you immediately wanted to jump on a phone call and speak with me, and I really loved learning more about you within that phone call, and the fact that you took time out of your day to speak with me again, you know, pre-recording, because not everybody does that. So it was really cool to connect like that. And I love literally everything that you're doing right now is nothing short of inspirational to me. So like I was just saying before we started recording, the fact that you're taking 30 minutes out of your day to speak with me is super inspirational, even in that, just because I know lives are crazy, man. And thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one of your friends connected us because we're in a REIT syndicate program with Ed Mila and Andy Fischilla. And when he told me about your podcast, I said, you know what? Let me jump on there for sure. We'd love to talk with you and just share my story with everybody.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And that's what I want to talk about. You know, like I love talking about so many things. You know, career transitions is one of the things I focus on. And your life has been nothing short of, to me, I'll use the word inspirational again, because it reminds me of some of the conversations I've had with people that have had experienced very tough things in their lives. And I remember speaking with Taya Kyle, if you're familiar with her. She lost her husband, and she was saying that she could have turned to the darkness. I was talking to her, and I was saying, well, sometimes you have no choice. And she's like, well, actually, you do have a choice. You could go to the darkness, or you can go to the light. And I love speaking with people because I like to ask the question, like, what do you think separated yourself? Like, I want to get it kind of deep, kind of quick. I want to know, like, what do you think separated yourself from succumbing to the things that have happened in your life and not just, you know, not wanting to help yourself? And now not only have you helped yourself and you have this great mindset, but you're helping other people too. So what do you think brought you out of the darkness into the light?
You know, right in the very beginning when I got hurt, you know, it was in a football game, so I don't know what it was. I'm like, when I saw my mom, I kind of remember, so I kind of don't. I think my adrenaline was still going from the game that I was in.
Yeah.
And I remember a little bit, but the first time I saw my mom after my injury, once they brought me into the hospital and everything, and everything was going on, I said to her, I'll be back. And when I said that to my mom, it stuck with her.
Yeah.
Like she remembers it very vividly, me saying, I'll be back. And what she told everyone after that who was going to see me in my room afterwards, you have to have a positive mindset and a positive influence on him. I know everyone's upset right now. This is a tough situation. But don't let him see you upset. Don't let him see you cry.
Yeah.
And when the injury happened and a few days had passed and I finally, you know, woke up from all the medicine and just the surgery and all that, and I started to remember, everyone that came into my room was so positive, like, everything's gonna be fine, everything's gonna be okay, like, you're gonna be good, this and that. So I kind of think that jump-started me, because right from the very beginning, from when I can remember, everything was just so positive for me, and I just was like, you know what, I'm going to be fine. Whatever my battle is, you know, going forward.
Yeah, man.
That's how I'm going to have to handle and attack it the same way I play football.
You know, I love how you answered that. And I'll even add on to that is that I read the letter that you wrote to yourself. And I wrote it down here, so it's just, I mean, it's a longer letter, but I wrote a small thing down here, and it actually makes me feel pretty emotional, your answer that you just gave me right here, because the part that I wrote down here says, quote, "The reason you have this drive and stamina to keep pushing are the people around you. From the moment you were injured, your friends, your family, your friends, coaches, and teammates formed a protective huddle," end quote. And I read that, and I was just like, damn, that is awesome, like, and that's exactly what you just said to me in your answer. And I'm just like, that is so cool that I chose to write that down. And you answered like that. Because that's like, when you have friends in your family, in your life, man, like, shit is really, really tough. Things get really, really bad. But when you have friends and family like that, and you said you were coming out of that, like, that grogginess and the medication and the surgeries and everything that you had to endure the first couple of days. And then you have all those people around you and they're smiling. They're like, they're hanging out. Like, that does, like, you are a perfect example of, like, check it out. These people actually went and did that, and look at how much better off you are. And the reason I originally wrote that down before we even started talking is because, like, I was like, wow, he helps people to a huge scale, right? I was like, I wonder why he helps people on such a scale. And I want to hear it from your own words, but I was kind of thinking, like, maybe it's because he had such a great support system from the beginning. What do you think?
And that's exactly what it is from the very beginning. You know, I actually want to take it back to when I was being raised by my mom. You know, okay. I grew up in a single parent household with my mom and my sister. My dad was in the next town over, but I always said my dad was in my life. He was at my games. Mm-hmm. If I ever needed anything, he was there for me. But my mom raised me. My mom made me into who I am.
Yeah.
And she taught me respect. You know, never, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody's a CEO of a company or a janitor, like that said.
That's what I'm saying.
You treat everyone with the same respect, and that's how I grew up. So when I got hurt, everyone was devastated, and they wanted to rally around me to help me out. And then as all these people were doing this for me, doing that, wishing me well, wanting to do this for me, or be there to support me, I kind of said, you know, I got to take this on as a responsibility now. Like, how am I going to give up on all these people that are going out of their way for me? That's exactly what came to my mind.
Yeah.
My whole life, I hate letting people down. I'm a man of my word.
Yeah.
I do what I do what I say I'm going to do. And when I had all these people now praying for me, going out of their way, coming up to the hospital, staying here hours and hours just to come and see me for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, how can I let these people down? All these people praying for me. And that's what kind of made me go into that mode. I got to fight.
Man.
I got to fight, not for myself, but for all these people that are fighting for me, praying for me, and wishing me well.
Man, that's heavy, man. That's awesome. I love that. And that you're a man of your word and you don't like letting people down. And it's just so strong. Like, it's like when you have something to fight for, it's one thing. Like, and when that something is yourself, but when you have somebody else to fight for, it brings this whole new fire in your life. Like, my wife and I have a 7-month-old. It's our first kid. And it's just like my mind, my life got flipped, turned like upside down when she was born. And I was like fighting hard for myself. And then I was like, oh my God, I have a daughter now. Like, I can't screw this up. You know, like,
Life got real.
Life got real. It got real fast, real quick. You know what I'm saying? So like, that totally resonates with me when you're saying like, it's hard to let people down because like, you know, people are staying up with you all night and people are, you know, going out of their way to come see you just for like a minute or two. And like, it just makes you wonder, like, oh my God, I can't believe like all these people are doing things for me. And I've had I was dumb growing up. I was my fair share of hospital visits. And when people come visit me, it means a lot. I actually want to go back to one of the first things you said. You said to your mom, you said, "I'll be back." And I think that's, I don't want to look over that. I don't want to overlook that. I think it's really important that you said that from the beginning and you had this mentality. And I know that they told you, you know, you're not going to do this, you're not going to walk, you're not going to have these sensations or anything, but here you are in front of me and, you know, you have this movement. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you had this fight from you from the very beginning. And it's just like, I think that fight coupled with the friends and family supporting you, like, created this man that was just like powerful and just ready to not stop with anything.
Yeah. That went into my whole life before that, like never letting people down.
Yeah.
As a football player, I was never the guy that was going to miss sprints, miss weight room sessions. be like the nuisance of the team. I was always the guy that was trying to lead the team.
Yeah.
Lead by example, yeah, by showing what I do. And I always had that fight warrior mentality, especially when I got to college. You know, being moved to all these different positions, trying out new things.
Yeah, yeah.
A new life for everyone. And everyone's just as good as you now. So I had to be that, like, that dog in me had to come out where I had to fight that grit in me. And like I said, when I got hurt, I don't know if it was from the adrenaline of the game, because we were in a close game. We had just tied it up 17-17 with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So, you know, I was on that kickoff. I was really energetic. Like, I got to make a big play. And I, like I said, I don't know what made me sad, but when I saw my mom, I was in that mode. Like, I guess, like, I'll be back. Like, this is whatever this is. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I'll be back from it. And that warrior mentality kind of just stuck through, and it gave people, I guess, that relief that
it's
going to be okay.
Yeah, I think it was very, like, synchronous, you know, like, it fed off of each other. Like, you fed off them, and they fed off you, like, this strong personality and this strong belief that, you know, things may not be good right now, but things are going to be okay, and we're going to make it, and together, we're going to do it, you know? And I like, everybody talks about, you know, it's an inspirational podcast. We talk about, like, building up your group, your people, the people you surround yourself with. But, like, there isn't a better example of this, like, on a real raw level. Like, everybody's problems are obviously relative to themselves, but, like, how many more examples do you need of, like, the people around you help you so much? And, like, God knows where you'd be without them. And if you're not surrounding yourselves with those people, like, think about if it was on the opposite end and people were coming in and they're just like, they're showing their emotions outwardly. Like, obviously that's how they feel, but you would have been maybe a little bit more scared or whatever. I don't know. And I can't put myself in that position, but I can say that I know that when people are there and they're fighting for you, you have that energy to want to fight back. And I think that's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. When people are fighting for you, and honestly, when this whole injury happened to me, I went from being a college football player, living out my dream, to relying on nurses and my family and a medical staff. And it kind of makes you get an appreciation on life from what I used to have to what I have now, or what I actually not what I have, what I could do physically then, to compared to what I could do physically now. It makes you appreciate the people that are around you actually doing stuff for you.
Yeah,
because they are really sacrificing their time. My mom, geez, I'm talking about her, she was incredible. Just when I first got her, she didn't sleep for 3 nights. And
gosh,
finally, I remember this, because it was like on Wednesday or Thursday, she was just completely exhausted. And we had a little argument in the room, like, and then we realized, like, what are we doing right now? Like, I just got, like, I'm 4 or 5 days out of surgery, and you realize, like, she needs to get rest. And
yeah.
I told my family that, and she finally was able to lay down and just rest for a little bit. But she stayed with me at Kessler when I went to my inpatient rehab after I was in the hospital. I was there for 5 months. My mom slept there every day except for 3 days. At the time, my girlfriend slept there for 2 days, and she stayed there a few more days at the time when she was there as well. But my mom was there every other night, and except for one night when she was sick. And it was just this little pull-out couch that destroyed her back. That
she's still limping from it, you know?
but she was with me for 5 months there. And, you know, it's just shows the sacrifice. And when you see that, I legit see it every single day. People just going out of their way.
Yeah.
Coming 40 minutes one way out of their job, from their job, so they can hang out with me for 2 hours. And then drive all the way back after and get home 9, 10 o'clock at night, then got to get up at 4 or 5 o'clock again the next day, go to work and do it all over. Like, you see people doing all this stuff, and it's just like, wow, I appreciate the life I have and the people that I have around me, because when I was at Kessler, not everybody had that. Not everyone had that.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's incredible. That is a wonderful woman, your mother. That is a wonderful woman.
Mama Dukes is great.
She is great. That's insane, because I know, like, going back to, like, I slept on the couch for, like, one night in the hospital when we had our kid, and I was like, that was rough, and here I am complaining, you know? Like, that was one night, and she did 5 months, so that's insane, and, like, all of this stuff just fuels all the things you're doing, like, Team LeGrand, Shot 52, like, all these cool things, amazing things that you're doing on the side now. It's just like, this is like perpetual snowball of, like, just, you're not stopping. And to me, that's just like, you're just constantly gaining momentum. And I think so much of that, not only because of like the strength we said that you have, like saying I'll be back, and not, and just still so much coupled like with that strength and the strength of your mother always being there and all the family and everything that you've said, like, to me, it just further answers all these questions that I wanted to ask about helping other people. Like, what do you think separates you and why do you help people is what I usually ask other people. And it's so obvious to me that people are just doing everything they possibly can for you. So it's like, you have no intention of wanting to like not give back to other people and help other people that have gone through similar things or different things and just helping other people. I mean, and you're donating your time right now to speak with me to inspire some other people. So it's just like, it's this never ending snowball. And I think it's incredible that you do that.
Yeah, it's been great. I'll talk a little bit about Shop 52 after, maybe after this question or so, but I want to go into Team LeGrand, which I...
Yeah, let's do that. I want to talk about
my,
that.
It's my foundation, Team LeGrand, or the Christopher David Reed Foundation. And it's to find a cure for paralysis. Our motto is today's care, tomorrow's cure. We got to worry about the people that are going through this injury now and focus, of course, on the research behind it too, but got to take care of the people that are dealing with this on a daily basis. And the reason why I started, because when I got hurt, you know, everyone was like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And people were raising money for me to make sure my mom was, she stopped working, so the bills were still being paid.
Sure.
I was able to rebuild the brand new house for me that was accessible for me.
Wow.
And things like that, which was amazing. But
yeah,
as we know, time does go on.
Yeah.
Time goes, it does go on. So after a while, after I had everything I needed, you know, what am I going to do? And so many people were still asking, how can we help? And I said, you know what, I'm going to start a foundation, because I saw all the people that were in Kessler who would be able to live a great life if they had a cure for this injury. And sometimes when they're by themselves, they went away. I have people that passed away. I have people on and just think about terrible situations where somebody living in an inner city, in a one-bedroom apartment with six people in there, can't even get out of their apartment because the elevator is broken.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? I need to make a difference. I need to use my platform and let my voice be heard. And I partnered up with them to find a cure for paralysis. That's my goal. And in 2013, in the fall of 2013, we launched Team LeGrand. And I'm proud to say, at the end of 2017, December 2017, we crossed over the $1 million mark for funds raised for spinal cord injury research. And
that's
now
incredible.
Our eyes are focused on that $2 million now.
Yeah, man.
We'll get there in the next year or two. So that's my goal, and that's why I want to help other people out, because I see it all the time. And 5.6 million people in this world are dealing with some sort of paralysis.
Man, that's incredible. $1 million. I don't think that...
Yeah.
I mean, if I was starting something like that, first of all, I think it's incredible that you took the initiative to do that, because there's a lot of ways to help people, but to like start a foundation is just not like... Oh, I'm going to do some paperwork and boom, we have a foundation. Like, I'm sure there's a ton of paperwork. There's a lot of work to do, you know? And then like, I think it like, it goes to the fact, like another great point here is that you started something and you wanted to help people, but you maybe didn't know where it was going to go, but you just wanted to help people. And then lo and behold, a few years later, $1 million, you know what I'm saying? It's like, so you don't know where things are going to go and bad things happen, but just start and help yourself and help other people, and you have no idea like actually how much that's going to help other people. Because I can't imagine, like, that's incredible, like people helped build a home, but other people, like you said, aren't in that position. Like, they, there's no way they can get help, and I can't imagine how difficult that must be. So for somebody like yourself to go out there and help and raise all that money so people have the opportunity, it's incredible. And one of the things you did say, you want to help the people now. I mean, you want to help the future too, but you know, you got to help the people that are living now too.
These injuries don't stop. Unfortunately, I believe a spinal cord injury happens every 45 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
So the injuries don't stop. And when you just hear more and more stories, people coming from unfortunate situations, backgrounds. And I always say, I feel bad for the lady who gets hurt from falling down the staircase and never worked out a day in her life, doesn't know about the grind that it takes to, you know, to get your body in shape. And now she gets thrown into therapy for 5-6 days a week and has to work on it. Like, that person doesn't know, like, that, what the mental fortitude that it takes. And you feel bad for that person. You feel compassionate for them. And you wish you could help them in any way. Or somebody who unfortunately got hit by a stray bullet, got shot, and now they're paralyzed. And you're just like, They can't even get into their house because there's no ramp to get into their house or where they live. This isn't accessible. Now they got to live in a nursing home. They're 24 years old, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You hear about this stuff, and it's like, wow. Yeah, I got to make a difference because I am very blessed with everything that I have here. I have everything that I need. But there's a lot of people that don't.
But Eric, that's like, I mean, that's so impressive. Like, that's not to be discounted. Like your mindset, you just said, like, I'm so blessed and I want to help all these other people. It's crazy because people get into positions where they just, I think they pity themselves and they have this complete victim mentality and they think, you know, it should only be me. I need help and look at me. But here you are in front of me and you're like, there's people that can't even get into their house, you know? So for you to have that mindset, I mean, and I'm sure that wasn't an easy mindset, but I'll bring it back again. You said, I'll be back from the very beginning. So I feel like you have this strength within you. And with that strength, again, for the third time of your family and your friends, that coupled forward, like, I feel like this was the only path for you. Like, regardless of what come in your life, regardless of what obstacle comes in your life, it was always going to be trying to strengthen yourself and build up other people and help up other people. And you know, those kind of situations as well.
Yeah, I've always been a people person my whole life. I love to make people laugh, make people feel good.
Yeah,
people,
man,
always ask me, like, were you this way before your injury? And I'm like, yeah, I was always the life of the party, making the jokes, you know, making sure everyone's having a good time. One of the people I love to,
it helps so much.
That's just who I am, man.
It helps so much.
When this injury happened, I said to myself, I was not going to let this define me. I'm going to be who I am. And what you see is what you get. There's no, oh yeah, let me smile now because there's a camera. No, I am a genuinely happy person.
Yeah.
And I wake up every day realizing I have another breath of air and there's more to fight for.
I love that. I got my first real taste of that when, so I was in the Navy for 9 years and I served in Afghanistan for 3 times. And some of the things that I saw over there, I came back and like, it's similar but different, you know, in the sense of like seeing things and experiencing things and coming back. And like, I think you had said earlier, like, I just realized like how grateful I was just to be living and breathing, you know, and thankful and grateful for the things that I do have. And I came back and I was like, God, I was complaining about that, or you know what I'm saying, like things like that. And I was like, gosh, it's so terrible in so many places. And to come back and just have this different mentality and the mindset behind it, like, I've always tried to be a joker and like 100% myself and, you know, have all that as well. And it just helps out so much. I mean, gosh, I mean, if there's like a bad situation and it sucks, no matter what you slice it, but if you like experience that and you're like, oh, and you just, all you say is, this sucks, it's the worst, I can't believe this happened, why did it happen to me? And you just go sulk about it. Like, or if you're happy about it and you joke and you go like, oh man, that did suck, but like, let's keep on moving. Like, regardless of you saying it's bad or you saying it's good and moving on with your life, it still happened. It doesn't change the fact that it happened, but it affects your mind, whether you sulk on it and you fall in that victim mentality again, or if you're positive about it. So that's like one of the things that I've struggled with most of my life is, no matter what happens in my life, whether it's good or bad, just like, try to look at it and be like, I'm happy it happened and be excited about it. And even if it's bad, like, what did I learn from it? And even if you can't necessarily learn anything from it, what's happened happened. And let's continue to try to maintain as positive attitude as possible, despite as hard as it can be.
Yeah. When it comes to, like you said, good and bad things happen, because they happen in all our lives. Some, you know, harder than others, or easier than others, or worse than others, or better than others.
Yeah.
When good things happen in my life, I always try to show that appreciation, that gratitude towards whatever it was, whatever the person did, or whatever it just may be that happened to me. I show gratitude and appreciation. I don't take it for granted. And when there's something bad, something negative, I don't be up too much. And I take a step back and I look for what's the solution right away.
Sure.
Same thing with my injury. What do I need to do to change, you know, to change this circumstance? What do I need to do? And if it's sometimes you just, if you need to lean on somebody else, then I try to tell people, don't be afraid to be vulnerable and ask other people for help. Because a lot of people have a hard time asking other people for help or sharing their situation with them. And that's what I try to tell people. Don't be vulnerable. You have to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And once you get to that feeling, life is real good, man.
Yeah, I love that. It's so hard to ask for help, though, from people. It can be. But I think you have to realize, like, when to ask for help and to understand it doesn't mean, like, it doesn't mean you're a weak individual and that, you know, it's like, oh, I'm some strong guy. Because we're talking about strength, too. Like, you're a strong individual. I'm a strong individual. You can be a strong individual and still ask for help because you can't do everything, you know? So I love that you said that, and being, like, solution-oriented, like, always thinking of a solution. And we both mentioned gratitude. And for me, like, talking about the bad things, again, that happen in my life, I know when I get a little bit depressed or I'm really upset about the bad things that do happen, when I do, I sit back and I think about the things that I'm grateful for. I'm like, okay, this bad thing happened. Okay, what am I grateful for? X, Y, Z, all these things in my life. I still have all these things. I'm so happy. Some of the things you mentioned as well, like having the house and having, you know, still have air in your lungs and be able to see your mom and your family. I still have all these things. And like, I say those things to me and it almost immediately pulls me out of this negative mindset of feeling sorry for myself and feeling like everything's bad. And it honestly, it's one of the quickest ways to make me feel better about everything that's going on.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. It's me, I try to make do things also that make me happy. Like, I kind of have my routine now. Like, I have my days always scramble. I'm up on different things. What if I have to go to therapy one day?
Yeah.
I have a speaking engagement. I'm working on my colon line, my foundation.
Yeah.
During the day, scrambled up, but always at nighttime. I do stay up late. I'm a night owl. So my aide gets here at 11 o'clock. They get me to bed. I do something I enjoy every night. And I watch TV until about 1:30, 2 o'clock. Before my injury, you can talk about TV shows. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know anything about TV. My life was always football, school, this and that. Now I take that time because I enjoy some TV stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I sit back and I watch Netflix. I watch all these different binge watch the shows on Fresh Show. I ever binge watch was back in 2011 or 12. I binge watched The Sopranos and I was like, wow, what did I miss back in the late 90s, early 2000s? Like, wow, this is awesome. And then Game of Thrones started.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all these different shows now on Netflix that I just sit back and I genuinely enjoy watching them. So I make sure even if it's late at night, like I said, around 11:30, 12 o'clock, I'll put on shows and go to bed around 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's so good. It's so good to be able to do all that. And you're just like, I'm doing the Shot 52, I'm doing Team LeGrand. You're like doing all these things. And like one of the things we haven't even talked about is like speaking engagements. And that's one thing I would love to get into as well. Like I can talk to people on Zoom and Skype all day, but like it's totally different getting in front of people and talking to people. And that's like another example of you going out there. And despite all the things we've already talked about, you're going out there and you're speaking to people just like you are speaking to me right now. Is there something you like most out of all the ways that you help people, or does it all bring its own like uniqueness, or do you enjoy speaking more, or is there something you enjoy?
I mean, think when I speak, yeah. The uniqueness I like that I thoroughly enjoy is being able to go into a room and it be silent for the entire time I speak, because it's hard to keep a crowd. You know, first I always say that when you see me first, people think they get uncomfortable because you see somebody in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You don't know sometimes what to expect. So I know right away when I come out to a room, people are going to sit there and stare like, is he about to get up? Is he about to say, hey, like, what is he going to do next? So I get in the room, I start sharing my story with them, and I try to just captivate the crowd depending on who I'm talking to. If I'm talking to a business, a corporation, or if I'm talking to kids at schools. Now, I just try, the way I gear to my, try to, you know, make my story and my speech relevant to
what the
life that they live in, or what they're trying to get out of this speech. And most, I can say every one of my speeches, I've been able to captivate that room. And knowing that you can make a difference in some people's lives in that room and knowing that you're helping them.
That's awesome.
That's why I do it. I really
enjoy
it. Of course, when I get up there, I got the butterflies. Just like when I'm sure when you were going into battle, like when I was going to a football game, those butterflies come. Every time I go up there on that stage, if I learned from a good sports broadcaster, my blue specs, that if you don't get the butterflies before you do it, no matter how many times you're doing it, then you're doing the wrong thing. And every time before I go up there, I say a prayer and then I get all nervous. All right, here we go. I gotta get my story straight, what I'm going to say to these people. Let's go do it now, Ian, and then boom.
Yeah, that's amazing. Those are most of the reasons I want to do it as well. Be able to go out there, captivate people, share your story, and help other people. And yeah, it's like those pre-game butterflies. Like before you go on the game, you get scared.
Yeah.
But that's like the thing. Like you start moving, you start doing your thing, and you start speaking, and they go away. You know, you get into your motion, and you start telling, you know, you're helping people, and you're looking at people's faces, and that really helps. I'm gonna have to follow you, and I'm gonna have to do some of that as well. I'm gonna have to get into that myself.
Yeah, that's always, when it comes to speaking, I always just try to know your crowd, know the message that they want to get across, and try to relate stories that they can understand, and try to, but always be yourself too. So use your story to relate to what they're trying to get across, because, you know, if you're just gonna go up there and you're kind of just gonna read from a piece of paper, nah. Every time I speak from my heart, I feel out the room, let my mind go, and wherever it takes me, you know, if I feel in that room and what they want, that's kind of how I do on my speech.
I like that. That's real. That's raw. You know, that's personal.
Exactly. It's authentic.
It's authentic. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh man, Eric, I've thoroughly enjoyed my time with you. Before we leave for the day, though, can you share with everyone listening where they can find you, be able to maybe book you as a speaking engagement, or find you on Instagram or online or something?
Yeah. Go to my website. It's ericlebrand52.com. My Instagram is ericlebrand52, and Twitter, ericlebrand52, and just my Facebook. It's just Eric LeBrand, and I just recently started Shop 52, which is my own clothing line.
Where I love that.
People can purchase now. I got my first shirt. My second one is coming out. It's the role model concept.
I was about to say.
I wanted it to
be. I love that. Yeah.
I am a role model, but I wanted it to be my unique way. I'm a jokester, and I like to have a good time. So I put ROLL, but the O is the handicap sign. And so it's R handicap sign, LL model. And it's taking off, and so many people have loved and enjoyed. So you can get that on my website too, ericlebrand52.com/shop. Just trying to make a movement in people to feel comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah, I love that. I'm gonna get one myself. I saw that and I literally started laughing out loud. I was like, I can't.
That's great, right?
Yeah. I was like, I already couldn't wait to speak with you, but I was like, all right, I know I'm gonna enjoy talking to him because he got a good sense of humor, you know. Like,
exactly. You gotta make fun of your situations too, man.
Yeah. You gotta live your life and be happy. And oh man, I like I said, I really appreciate it. But Eric, thank you so much for being here, and have a great rest of your night.
Thank you so much.